This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
On this Thanksgiving Eve, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Just because the Cowboys are out of the playoff race doesn't mean Jerry has stopped saying crazy things. The latest, Pearl. Well, it's about his head coach, Mike McCarthy. So yeah. Here's Jerry Jones. He's on 105.3, the Fan in Dallas, which is a sister station of ours. Jerry Jones was asked, would it be crazy to think about bringing Mike McCarthy back? Now, let's not forget, he's a lame duck coach, final year of his contract. Mm-hmm. But would it be crazy to bring him back? Let's hear what Jerry said.
Well, I don't think that's crazy at all. That's not crazy. And listen, Mike McCarthy's one an outstanding coach. I was listening to the game last night, watching it, and Aikman was talking about it, and he's reiterated that several times publicly, this Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah, Troy Aikman did say that. More from Jerry.
It's factually true as well.
He is a good coach.
No, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
That part, the good coach part, I'm not going to sign off on. The Super Bowl, I will sign off. I was there.
More, yeah, we were both there. More from Jerry on Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy has been there, done that. He's got great ideas. So bottom line is that in no place in my body language or anything else have you seen indications about what we're going to be doing relative to this staff at the end of this year.
Okay, so Jerry holding this close to the vest. And listen, you still have, what, 6 games to go? So in some ways, this is actually smart PR from Jerry. You don't need more distractions. You've already got Micah Parsons' podcast and all the other things that have happened this season. Your quarterback's hurt. You got all these injuries all over the place. So why make it worse? So here was Mike McCarthy yesterday at his press conference having a little fun when he was asked about Jerry's comments.
Well, I mean, I really haven't talked about it all year. So, I mean, definitely not going to start on a short week in an important division game. But I'm not going to throw away positive vibes either, so I'll keep them coming, but that's all good. But no, yeah, it's that's not something I'm really focused on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, good response. He also said, why are you guys laughing? What's so crazy about that? There's sort of this wink and a nod that everyone knows the season has not gone really well. Can I tell you what I think's at play here?
Sure.
Okay. I think that there maybe is a shot that Mike McCarthy does end up surviving as the Dallas Cowboys head coach, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
We had Shireen Williams on last week, who has been covering the Cowboys for 30 years. And two things she said that have stayed with me. Number one, Jerry doesn't want to be upstaged. We all know that. So Bill Belichick is out the window if it's going to be a power struggle. Mm-hmm. Jerry doesn't want to do a power struggle. Did that with Jimmy Johnson all those years ago. Not doing that again. His show, his team, his way, or nothing. So Belichick, not going to happen. Number two, Jerry, I don't think, wants to pay a coach a lot. So the Sean Payton type of contract where you can feel like you have leverage over Jerry, Like, I don't think Mike Vrabel can come in and start demanding $100 million. I don't even know if he would. Or I don't think you can be, a coach who comes in and says, I'm going to name the number on Jerry Jones. And so I think he's using Mike McCarthy here in his back pocket as just a little bit of leverage. Like, hey, I don't need any of you. I'll just go back to Mike McCarthy. I don't need to be whining and dining the likes of a Ben Johnson or a Cliff Kingsbury or whoever might be on the short list here for Jerry.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get in that game where he's going to name the number. And they, if everyone doesn't like it, I'll bring back Mike McCarthy.
He would definitely whine and dine Cliff Kingsbury, regardless of whether he wanted to hire him as a coach. He'd love to party with Cliff. Are you kidding me? They'd go to Vegas and show up 3 days later.
Hollywood Kingsbury.
The issue with Jerry Jones is he kept Jason Garrett for 10 and a half years, who was good, not great. Like, they kept having winning records, but they couldn't win at the highest level. So I think people think he's going to get stuck in the same rut with Mike McCarthy. He just wants someone he's familiar with and someone he likes. It feels like Jerry and Steven, no discount him, they want friends in these positions. There's one exception, right? We all know the exception was when he hired Bill Parcells.
Sure.
He was, I think, as I understand the story, he was trying to get the stadium built, and he knew he had to have a winning season, so he brought in Parcells. Now, I wonder if there's a sense of desperation because the dude is 82 years old. Mm. Like, would he go out of character and hire a guy who could share the spotlight? Like, I think that there, if he's in character, you're right. He'll possibly bring back Mike McCarthy. Is he looking at this and be like, I have to act quickly? I think there's a chance that he acts desperately this offseason. Logically, to most other owners.
So that's Belichick.
I think Belichick would be obviously the new Parcells, or maybe a little like Belichick light with Vrabel.
See, I think that Jerry Jones has such a big ego that he would think he knows better than even a Mike Vrabel.
Could be.
Mike Vrabel hasn't won a Super Bowl, right? And they always talk about McCarthy. He's a Super Bowl winning head coach, and they constantly put his bona fides out there, which is fair. That's the right thing to do. He has earned that. But I don't think that Jerry would say Mike Vrabel, who got the Tennessee Titans to a one seed and then blew it, I don't think he's going to say you deserve to get the keys to the kingdom here. And Belichick, I think, would be the only one who maybe in Jerry's mind could be on like equal footing with Jerry. Like, I think this is the way Jones thinks. And he's not going to do that. And I don't think there's like the desperation to win the title at 83 years old. To me, I don't see it, or else they would have made changes at 80 and 81 and 82. Like, that doesn't factors.
McCarthy was 12-5. You don't fire, most times you don't fire a 12-5 coach.
I know, but were we not surprised that McCarthy survived after the Green Bay disaster?
We were somewhat surprised, but listen, they were 12-5, and we were like, oh, they're going to fire this guy. Now they're nowhere near 12-5. So to bring him back on a new contract, it's a little bit of a different calculus than last year. The thing about it, the key for Jerry is he's got to have that guy over his house and enjoy dinner with him. And Vrabel can bro out with anybody. Okay. I think Vrabel would be a fun dinner partner. Maybe I don't think it's about respect or anything like that. I think it's about comfort personally. I think he's a very relationship heavy guy. I think who could come on the bus? I mean, I think he would fall in love with Cliff. Cliff's like a combination of McCarthy. He's got McCarthy's offensive chops and Jason Garrett's sort of hangout ability with Jerry. I don't know. I have no idea, but Jerry Jones, maybe I'm using my logic. Like, he's got to look at different coaches this offseason.
I just can't imagine that your head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, who you're trying to get to win a Super Bowl, right? We're here to win. That's the whole point, would be the vibes guy. And yeah, by the way, I don't think Mike McCarthy is probably that unfun to hang out with. He seems like a pretty good time.
That's why he's the coach of the Cowboys.
Well, I'm just saying, This is my whole thing about how he could just keep McCarthy. I don't think it necessarily has to be a change of the vibes, and it's definitely not going to be a handing over of the keys.
This all goes down to, did Steven share a six-pack with Mike Vrabel at an owner's meeting one time?
Here's another part. Just take this on its face. I know Mike McCarthy's stock is very low right now as far as a head coach. But we talk about, are you closer to a title or further away? Are you closer to a title with Cliff Kingsbury as your head coach over Mike McCarthy?
Well, I don't think they're hiring. Kingsbury, I don't think, is a logical choice.
Vrabel.
Yeah, definitely.
Why?
Because your biggest problem is your run defense. Like, you're not a tough team.
Okay, well, that's on the front office. Okay, that can be on coaching. But to be honest, Mike Zimmer could stop the run for 25 years, and all of a sudden he can't now. I think it's a little because Eric Kendricks was their biggest, free agent acquisition at the linebacker core.
Nah, I can't buy that. I think a different coach would do better with this roster than McCarthy right now.
Do you think Mike Vrabel, with the amount of injuries they've had on the defense?
Yeah, but those guys all come back next year. Yeah, Vrabel.
But do you think Vrabel would have them? Do you think Vrabel right now, the team would be better than 4-7?
Yes.
Why?
Way tougher. I just think that.
But with all the injuries, like, you know, Mike Vrabel can't keep everybody healthy. That's not, a coach doesn't have a magic wand.
Yeah, I mean, I just think early in the season when the Saints, like, just ran all over them. I don't think that's happening to Mike Vrabel. No, I generally do. And I don't think that they're a Super Bowl team, but yeah, I think they were a little better this year. I think their defense has underperformed even with the injuries.
Last year, Mike Vrabel was 6-11.
Yeah. I mean, in Tennessee.
Okay. He was 7-10 the year before
that. Look at Tennessee this year. They're terrible.
I don't know.
That's a front office who's made way more mistakes than even Dallas. Tennessee has been a disaster drafting and signing guys.
From Mike Vrabel, I believe, has 2 double-digit win seasons. And he's in a conference that, by the way, is not exactly gangbusters.
Put up the poll, EJ. Who would you rather have as a Cowboys coach next year if you're a Cowboys fan? Mike Vrabel or Mike McCarthy?
Of course, Vrabel's going to win this by a long shot.
But why do you think that is?
Because I think that people are prisoner of the moment, and I think that Mike McCarthy has been painted a fool, and I think that people are blaming Mike McCarthy for this bad season when, to be fair, you probably should have blamed Jerry, because this team has no depth, and we know Mike McCarthy has no say on personnel.
I think the key is that wild card game. You could just see the Cowboys came out nervous and uninspired. Okay. He did not fire up his team in any way. He did not give them any confidence. I mean, listen, I don't know what Vrabel's like in the locker room, but I just cannot say, it's like, that's not happening with the Mike Vrabel team. They are not coming out and just being terrified of the other team.
I watched them lose to the Bengals at home, the Titans. I saw them have a 1 seed, and I saw Joe Burrow, who, yes, they end up going to the Super Bowl that year, but they sliced
through. That was a great team.
They sliced through the Titans. The Titans were like the number 1 seed. They sliced through the Titans, and that wasn't even like a thing.
Wasn't it just a bunch of field goals in that game? That was that sliced through. I don't know about that. I think that was a low scoring. The Titans offense stunk. That was the whole issue.
They got the 1 seed. They're not supposed to win a game at home.
Yeah, but that I understand. But that was a really, really good Cincinnati team they lost.
That wasn't legend of Joe Burrow. That helped create the legend of Joe Burrow.
He got sacked 10 times that game. He wasn't even that great in that game. It was,
it was 1916. I remember it was a field goal. I watched that game in a bar because I was waiting for my daughter. That was an ugly, ugly game. But that's what Vrabel will do. He's going to play defense, which is kind of what I think it's different than McCarthy. Maybe taking, like, you want a different style after you had this West Coast offensive guru, bringing the tough guy defense and hope that the offense with all that money you're spending on Dak will work out.
Yeah, I guess, like, here's the question. Is it better to not make the playoffs or is it better to lose? Because I also watched the Titans lose to the Ravens in the wild card. Like, where's my Mike Vrabel signature win?
It's definitely
beating Belichick in the playoffs. I think that's why he's in this conversation. Otherwise, I agree with
you. And by the way,
he's an anonymous coach.
That was Brady's last game in Foxborough. That was the most vulnerable Patriots team that's ever existed.
Oh, yeah.
The most.
I mean, personally, I would go with Belichick first, and I'm not even sure I would want Vrabel, but yeah, I think there are upgrades over where McCarthy is right now. And it's not even McCarthy. I just say his message is clearly not landing.
I don't know if the message isn't landing or if it's just the team is not as good as the 49ers. He might not be as good of a coach as Kyle Shanahan, but is that a crime? I don't know. And they laid an egg in a playoff game. They totally did. But to your point, they keep having 12-win season after 12-win season. And I haven't seen Mike Vrabel, you know, listen.
I mean, they're off.
You played the AFC Championship game, you lost to the Chiefs.
And the biggest offseason move was losing Dan Quinn because their defense went from top 10 to bottom.
I know, but think about it. 8. No one could wait to get him out of town after the Packers ran all over you and after everyone ran all over you.
Well, he did get a head coaching job. I mean, it's not like he was.
Because Ben Johnson said no. And I think Dan Quinn's doing a good job. It's not that. I'm just saying, like, let's not. Dan Quinn was out on the market for years. Remember, we thought he was getting the Broncos head coaching job, and he didn't get that. And then I don't think he was getting this Commanders head coaching job until Johnson said no. So,
I mean, anyone in Dallas will tell you it's a massive downgrade coaching that defense.
Well, okay, but there's another part of this that I think Jerry also has to be blamed for, which is you have Mike McCarthy going into his final year of his deal. He's a lame duck coach. What great coach is buying a ticket on the Titanic? Like, what? Mike Zimmer took this job probably because maybe the Minnesota Vikings money ran out and he could afford to take a one-year flyer. If you're a really good coach, you're not just going to jump aboard on a lame duck coach because if it goes wrong, you're all getting fired at the end of the year. Mike Zimmer's not going to hang on.
Regardless, I mean, obviously, like, that to me, that's got to be the biggest difference. But I think a coach like Vrabel or Belichick, like, there are a lot of pieces on that defense. If they're all healthy, I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back, but you got Parsons, you got Overshawn, I think it's going to be a superstar. Sam Williams will come back. Nealon will come back. They have the two cornerbacks. Like, there's a lot of people. Can you imagine Belichick, like, sort of getting his hands in there and figuring out some things? They could be a good defense. They're a terrible defense.
But do you think Belichick's getting hired?
Because of Jerry's ego? I don't think so. But I think if Bill Belichick has a choice between Jacksonville and Dallas, and if Jerry did offer him that, I think Dallas might be an attractive offer. I think there's a little more talent there than, say, a Jacksonville. But you're right. I don't know if Jerry does that. I mean, the history of Jerry does not indicate that he will do that.
No.
But, listen, maybe I'm sounding like a Cowboy fan. It's obviously time for a different approach.
855-212-4227. Sean's our pal in Oregon, who's a happy Dodger fan this morning and wants to weigh in on the Cowboys as well. What's up, Sean?
I'm loving it. It feels like early Christmas present.
You got Blake Snell wrapped up right under the tree for you.
I'm loving it. I couldn't believe what I heard this morning.
Sean, I've never heard you this happy before.
No, I know it.
Wait, do you think it'll be heard in May or June, Sean? What's the prognosis on that?
What's that?
Will he be heard in May or June? What's the latest? And will it matter at all?
It won't. That's why the Dodgers are stockpiling.
Yeah.
And it's good to do that, brother. I'm going to call defend a little bit on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
You guys are talking about he's a lame duck coach. Well, that lame duck coach went into Pittsburgh, his hometown, and got a win. And then he went up there, and you know, nobody thought I wonder how many people lost money on that Redskins and Cowboys game.
Yeah, 10.5-point spread in that game.
I watched him take the top off Dan Quinn's defense is what I watched him do.
Yeah, that was the weirdest game that we've probably had all season. But to be fair, yeah, I mean, he definitely beat Dan Quinn. They had the big win in Pittsburgh. I don't think Mike McCarthy, I know this, I'm going to get skewered for saying this. I don't think he's a bad coach.
And do you think he was the one saying we got to have Zeke Elliott back?
Well, definitely not.
I mean, Jerry Jones, he's one of my favorite owners because he treats his guys good to a fault sometimes. You know, he rides and dies with his people. And I'm kind of like him a little bit because, like, I go, if I don't like my boss or I don't like my coworkers, I won't work with you. If my boss doesn't invite me over for dinner once in a while, invite me over to any kind of a gathering, I won't work for him.
Mm.
I won't do it.
So you want to have that close relationship.
Time. I said, are we going to have a Christmas party this year? The guy said, he says, we don't have Christmas parties. I said, well, you do now. And everybody from the company came to my house.
Well, that's nice of you to host. What'd you serve?
I served a lot of beer. I served a lot of beer.
Sean, you keep doing that, you're going to be the boss. You're going to be the most popular guy in the office. Can we put that poll up? Do you want to have dinner with your boss? Because I bet there's a lot of people who heard that pearl off and was like, I would much rather, like, having dinner with your boss feels like a burden. Like, oh, now I got to be all smiley and I've got to be on. And it can be nerve-wracking for people too.
Hmm.
Do you like to socialize with your bosses?
Well, the way he worded it made sense. Like, you want your boss to embrace everybody.
Right.
Yeah, I would think, would you rather be, if you had a choice, I have a boss who does not want to go to dinner with me, or I have a boss who does want to go to dinner with me, I would take the boss who does want to go to dinner with
me. Right, that's a good sign when your bosses want to hang out with you. I get that. But from your point of view, sometimes it can be like, it can feel like a burden to have to hang out with your boss.
Yeah, I hear what you say. I like the Michael Scott, let's be a big family, occasionally do a some sort of role-playing game like The Office. You definitely want your boss to like feel like, hey, this is more than just a job. Mm. Right.
D is in Oregon. D, do you want to go to dinner with your boss?
As much as he's a cool guy and we talk, no, I don't go to any of those functions. I already spend enough time with him as is, 40 to 45 hours, sometimes 50. I'm good on that.
Yeah.
Cowboys, I'm gonna tell you guys something right now. And we're going through the same thing with the whole Blazers. If the top ownership and the GM, if that's messed up, you will never win a championship, ever. And that's what the Blazers are going right now. Cowboys, the same thing. I'm telling you, they're never going to freaking win. And, hey, as an Eagles fan, that's fine by me. Do whatever you guys got to do, because you guys are always going to suck.
Oh,
always.
D, thank you.
I mean, these are straight facts. Yeah. I mean, nobody's arguing. D, I'm sorry. Like, that's not even a two-way conversation. Everybody agrees that Jerry will never win a Super Bowl.
I'm trying to think who's a bad ownership that won a championship. There's been some.
You could argue that Laker was a bad owner, and then he got lucky.
Interesting. He said he claims he's light years ahead on everybody, though.
Wait. You said
people
Joe
like
Laker?
Him, I thought.
Get out of here.
Joe Laker, before the Steph Curry stuff, was he got booed out of the arena when he tried to talk to the fans.
Well, that was because there was they really love Monte Ellis.
I read this book about how they redefined that franchise. Like, they are the cutting edge.
I thought the Larry Ellison years were the really bad ones for the Warriors.
I'm saying that Laker was not popular before. I'm not saying he's a bad owner.
Saying it was unpopular.
Who was a bad owner
who
won a title? I'm saying the Bay Area was not happy with Joe Laker prior to the Steph Curry era. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
We were asking who a bad owner. There's other guys, I think.
That's what I'm trying to
think. Is Laker one of the top five owners the last 20 years?
Probably. My argument is not to say that. I'm not arguing that he's bad now.
He changed his tune, just like Dolan will with you Knicks fan.
Right. Hopefully. Or Rangers.
That's the difference. Laker had just gotten there, and he was trying to build this sort of technologically based system. Dolan has been doing this for 25 years.
Sure.
So, Jerry Jones has been doing this for 30 years. Some of these owners will not change their ways. Is anybody who's like a stubborn owner who wants to have his hands on the thing, is this ever work?
I think a lot of people don't believe that George Steinbrenner was a great owner. Some people do, some people don't. Obviously, he had a lot of issues, George Steinbrenner, and put together a championship team when he was banned from baseball. So,
the greatest owner of all time, most center. I mean, isn't he? Who's a better owner than George Steinbrenner?
Well,
God.
He hired some, low-level mafia guy, allegedly, to spy on his own player.
God.
And he got banned from baseball for it. Does that make you a good owner?
I'm not a Yankee fan, but is there anyone on earth who wouldn't take George over the current ownership?
Yeah, but George is a mess, too.
Yeah, it was
Steinbrenner
awesome.
I know, but that...
A mess who won titles.
But he didn't win the titles until he actually had to go away. He would have traded away Mo. He would have traded away Jeter. He would have done all of that because he's so impetuous.
Well, when he was at the messiest of mess of all messes,
in the 70s?
Yeah, that's when they won the big ones.
The poster child might be, it might be Dan Gilbert. That's probably the guy you're looking for. A bad owner who won a title. He's a bad owner.
Yeah, I mean, he's lucky that LeBron kind of forgave him and came back.
Yeah, I mean, basketball, because you only need one superstar. Like, you can overcome an owner. Football, I think it's a little harder.
All right. Let's think about this. 855-212-4227. Also, go vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. Do you want to have dinner with your boss? Sean said he won't work for somebody if they're not doing Christmas parties and they're not doing dinner. And then we had D, who said, I already put in 40, 45 hours a week with all of you people. I don't want to have dinner. What, do you got to put a suit on for that? Look all smiley? See you guys, too, about Mike McCarthy. 855-212-4227. Should he get another contract as the Cowboys head coach? Maggie and Perloff.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and Real Fit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We had a question in the last segment, a bad owner who's won a title. I got a lot of close calls.
Share.
Jerry Richardson came real close with the Panthers multiple times.
Yeah, that guy.
He was not a great owner.
No, you can't ask a woman who works for you if you can shave her legs. Just FYI. Yeah.
If Aaron Donald hadn't gone completely insane in the fourth quarter against the Bengals, then Mike Brown would have came home with a title in Cincinnati. She could come close. I'm looking at football. See, I think like basketball is a cheat code because if you just happen to be in the hometown of LeBron James, you could win a title. And generally, and also too, I don't really love the Bulls ownership when Jordan was there.
Yeah, so Reinsdorf.
Yeah, he won a lot of titles.
I want to say Krause, but I tell him it was Reinsdorf. Yeah. Oh, he was pretty bad too. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, so I think basketball, because the players have such an impact. Football, it is tough. Interventionist owners do not do well. So I don't know. I think I agree with that caller who said Jerry's probably not going to win a title.
I mean, it starts another from one. The top down. Yeah, another one. Well, yeah. That one was...
He was a young Jerry Jones. He was still learning. I feel like we separate that from what's going on right now.
Keep them coming. Bad owners to win titles. And then also, poll question for you. Do you want to have dinner with your boss? I think we're going to be pretty split down the middle. Dan is in Central California. Dan, do you want to have dinner with your boss?
Maggie, I agree with you on this one. I worked for a guy for about 4 years. It was a garage door sales company, about 25 employees or so. I was an outside salesman. And he had a big gathering out of this country kind of estate, 10 miles out of town in the Central Valley, home of a lot of commercial crops. But I really didn't really want to go, but I felt obligated because I was an employee. So he was a guy, I would want to hang out with him and have a beer and watch a game, you know. So I just felt like I just was obligated.
Yeah, you weren't looking. You weren't running towards it, Dan. I get it. You know, I think it's always a good sign when your boss wants to hang out with you. That's probably a good thing. Probably not great when your boss is avoiding you. It's just, you know, that's just the way of the world. But, you know, sometimes you feel like, all right, when I'm on my personal time, I just want to chill. I don't want to have to feel like I'm putting on, you know, my company face. But some companies aren't like that. Some are very casual.
But obviously, I'm hearing you don't want to go to dinner.
I love going to dinner with our bosses.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that way.
I do. We had great dinners with all of our bosses. I've had really good relationships. You and I just went to lunch with our old boss the other day.
Yeah.
That was super fun. I put that together. I love going to... I just get what people are talking about when some don't want to.
I'm just getting the sense, like, I don't know, like, are there a lot of people secretly that you want to go to dinner with? I feel like dinner
I would have loved to go to dinner with Dan
I feel like
Patrick.
Dinner feels like a burden to you in these some situations.
Well, our schedules...
And by the way, I relate.
Our schedules, we eat dinner at, like, 5:30. You know, we wake up really early, so...
No, that's not true. Yeah, when we're on the road, you do go to dinners with people.
Of course I do. I pick up the tab. I love going to dinner. It's not that. I just get where people are coming from. You know, you already work a lot, especially as I said, Dan, he's in sales. His whole thing is about having to take people out and wine them and dine them. And, you know, you might just not want to do that on your personal time.
I hear you. No, it makes sense.
But how are dinners with Dan Patrick? I feel like that's great because you get all Dan's stories.
Dan wasn't really... Until the end, was not texting my boss. We had these massive dinners with gigantic executives that were super stressful.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like the head of Fox. And it would be like, we'd be at a steakhouse and I'd order the salad. I'd be like, can you tell me about this lemon pepper chicken? And they'd look at me like I was insane.
Getting the mutton chops.
Yeah. And then like we, you know, AT&T ran the Dan Patrick Show for a long time. So there'd be gigantic AT&T executives who are on a different vibe altogether. But I was kind of a PI. When you have Dan was the protection of all of us. Dan was amazing. It's like at the end of the day, Dan Patrick did an incredible job of shielding us from these kind of bosses. Like I think when you boss is like businessy boss,
sure.
Like high end, like the bean counters. Dan was ever like that.
Got it.
Yeah. There was, but we definitely like when it was like, this guy is the vice president of North America and AT&T and he's sitting here right next to you.
Yeah.
He's probably worth about $250 million.
Yeah, those things can be very stressful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A couple of those at Sports Illustrated, it's like, oh, so what do you do? It's like, I own Qantas Airlines. It's like, wow, all right. How about them Cowboys?
So you shouldn't break the ice by saying, can I hold a dollar?
No, EJ, you're not getting invited back.
Oh, okay.
If you say, can I hold a dollar?
Like, what if the big boss at Odyssey invited us to dinner? Would you guys be nervous or would you be excited?
I've been around the big boss at Odyssey on a social event, and he was very comfortable and made everyone feel very nice.
Okay,
so that helped.
I would like to do that dinner in Philly. That'd be amazing.
Yep. It was not in Philly, but sure.
Yeah, no.
Bogish, what do you think? You want to go with the big muckety mucks?
Yeah, no thanks. I get, like, there are media bosses around here, yes, but I would not be comfortable at a David Field head of Odyssey dinner.
He's very nice.
I'm sure he is, but I've apparently walked past him in this hallway not knowing who he was, so...
That's on you.
100%.
Did he know who you were?
Of course not.
But, you know, Ryan and Dave are immediate bosses here. Like, they're a delight. This would be... That would be fun.
That's
to
easy.
With them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dave, there'd be some issues because he laughs so loudly. Like, you'd have to be...
True.
You have to be in a corner of the restaurant.
Dave has given me amazing restaurant recommendations, so I would love to go to dinner with Dave Marinick and his wife.
Yeah, but... Okay. Is this whole thing about trying to get a free dinner out of the boss's night?
Yeah, actually, that's why I brought this topic up.
Shut up, Dave.
Sean is the one who brought it up because he was saying he wouldn't work for somebody who doesn't invite him over. And I think that gives other people kind of anxiety.
Like, I do think the big boss, and I'm going to once again channel Michael Scott from The Office, like, you do have to make the effort to at least pretend that, hey, this is all fun and I'm going to take you out to dinner. Like, if you were the boss... Wouldn't you extend that kind of invite? I think
Absolutely.
It's important.
Like, you can never reject it, too.
But I would not judge somebody for not showing up.
Yeah. I mean, remember when you and I took the whole staff to breakfast a year and a half ago and Pipilotti ordered too much and we decided we're never doing that again?
Well, there's one big difference there. We're not the boss.
I'm a great time.
I'm just kidding. Pete did not order too much.
No,
it was
great.
Actually EJ with a fresh squeeze orange juice.
He'll never live that down.
Gosh.
Tyler,
you lost a bet, dude.
Is in San Francisco. Tyler, what do you think? Dinner with your boss? Yes or no?
Well, he is actually taking us, our company, or about a company of 25 people, to a Niners game and on the 30th. So it's a Monday night football game.
Nice.
And I actually said no because it's become too much, and I just don't want to see my coworkers after work, and I'd rather turn that down and just hang out at home with my friends and my wife and everything and watch the game instead of going to
right.
the game.
So this one has nothing to do with the boss. You just don't want to be watching the game with everyone at work.
I love my boss. He's a great boss, and I like the people I work with, but I just don't want to hang out with them after work.
Yeah.
Wait, Tyler, if the Niners were healthy and playing better, would that be a different answer?
No. I've been invited to other company things, and I've always just said no. I just don't want to do it. Nothing personal.
It's not about Brandon Ayuk. It's about Bill and accounting.
Bob, you know, he's a guy, you know.
Yeah. Bob might have to get out there and suit up if the 49ers have a lot more injuries. Tyler, thank you.
Yeah.
Totally understand where you're coming from.
Bob, how was the weekend? What'd you do? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand. I mean, we don't have that problem here because we all like each other, but I get it.
We're also all sports fans, so going to a game would probably be awesome.
It helps.
Yeah.
I mean, you and Perloff sat courtside at a Knicks game together.
That was really Manny. Cool.
I am not like you guys. I totally do not buy on this take. I like people. I enjoy being around people. I think you guys are all sort of curmudgeons.
Well,
everyone in this room except for me.
We have some evidence to the contrary because Bogish has offered multiple times to travel with you to San Antonio and you keep saying
that's a 30-hour trip. That's one thing to go out for drinks after the show. It's another.
To be honest, you go to a Nets game, you're going to feel like you were there for 30 hours. Some of these sporting events are pretty bleak.
When bus jama?
Our friendship, I've tried, as Maggie said, whether it's been San Antonio or a sandwich for lunch. I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
You suck, Bogus. When have you asked me to go for a sandwich for lunch?
Just about to.
Until this segment.
Yeah. Are you free tomorrow?
Yeah.
Told you.
You never asked
Another
me to go.
Denial.
What if you never asked me to go to a Dave Matthews Band concert with you? Like, there was one last weekend.
I would not bring you to that. Judging based on your questions of me going to other ones about drugs and social media presence and stuff like that, you're not allowed.
Can you imagine going to a Dave Matthews Band concert with Perloff, just judging?
Oh,
he's just
God.
On his phone the whole time.
Yeah,
he called
us curmudgeons. Oh my gosh. that hypothetical, I can't even imagine.
Crash into you. Does he open and end with that song, Crash?
Or he does not.
The song that sounds like Crash?
Nope.
I've actually met Dave Matthews. Super cool guy.
I'm sure you have.
He was at dinner with Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, he said no to that dinner.
I think I was at a dinner with Dave Matthews because he was part of the Sandler crew.
Right. What was the movie that he was in?
He was in Oh, my God. He's the one where Brooklyn Decker and Jennifer Aniston are vying for Adam Sandler's love. By the way, Adam Sandler, God bless him.
This dude, it's not even like hidden.
And this is like, and guess who? Dave Matthews is married to Nicole Kidman, and that's a subplot of this. And so, and I think he's been in a couple others since then. Dave loves Sandman. Actually, I haven't gotten an invite to any Sandler events since I left the Dan Patrick Show. Funny how that works. But I will invite you if Dave Matthews is
involved. What about a Knicks game?
I've invited... Oh.
You did. Perloff offered Rangers tickets. You guys couldn't take them.
Oh, that's true.
We are the New York Knicks. That's true. I understand. You have a tough commute to get into games. Games are tough when you're around New York. It's hard to get around. It's not like it's right downtown.
And coming back in the city is a pain. But that we did drop the ball on that. That was a bad pull by me. You tried. Although, were you going to come with us, or are you just going to give us tickets to leave you alone?
I would definitely come with you. So I have a question. I often... Thanks to our really dear friend of the show, Dr. Rock Positano, sometimes gives us really good Knicks tickets. Should I take Manny to the next game?
Hold on. These are very precious tickets.
Yeah, close to front row.
To the point where I can't go because I can't sit in any seat. But technically, I couldn't be there. Like, I would put the tickets in jeopardy, even though I wouldn't say a word, but just by my pure existence, because I've... have a dicey relationship with James Dolan.
Yes,
he's a fragile op, as Drake said.
Sure. Manny, we got to make sure, can Manny hold and, like, can he stay cool in these tickets?
The answer is no.
You got to maintain a certain level of professionalism, I'm sorry, to keep these Rock Positano tickets. You can't mess around. Yeah. Manny, can we trust you?
But yeah, no, I think you're allowed to go crazy for the Knicks, though. But you can, if they start to lose and you start to yell curse words, that would be bad.
You can't curse out OG Anunoby.
Oh, I would never do that.
Ask for RJ Barrett back.
Yeah, you can't start a "We want RJ" chant.
I have started to sell the team chant before.
That won't work.
Mm.
I will definitely get you out of there.
I mean, you read his angry tweets. Those were his tweets.
He's
from
going
his
after
house.
Brunson. He's going after the captain.
He had some not safe for work ones too.
Imagine what he would say about Karl Anthony Towns if he goes like 1-for-11.
I would use another word for cat.
Can't do it, Manny. I think you're talking yourself out of the tickets.
God, this is the image of EJ sitting next to James Dolan for an entire game. Was one of the funniest interactions.
Talk about being scared.
It was so funny because the first half, Pearl didn't know. It was like he was asking me these questions. I'm like, I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to give a really standard weird answer. And Pearl was like, why is he being weird?
I didn't see Dolan. No. I literally did not see that he was sitting right next to you.
There's a joke there that I'm not going to make.
That was hysterical. Was he was actually right next to you, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry I put you on that spot. Yeah, I'm like, what do you think the Knicks should do in free agency? You're like, I don't know, but they do nothing but smart moves. I'm like, really?
Seriously.
Best front office ever.
This was definitely like the what if EJ was kidnapped and hijacked, the things he would say. These were the answers I was giving to Perloff the entire first half of that Knicks game.
I did, by the way.
What do you think of Julius Randle? I think he's a hard-nosed player.
I love him.
EJ's the best.
I named my firstborn after him.
EJ's amazing to go to games with because he can tell you the history of every shoe deal on the court. I'm like, what's that multicolored one? And he's like, well, Kelly Oubre signed that deal in China in 2022. He is a encyclopedia of what's going on. Dude, you do know your NBA. You're very fun to go to a game with. I understand now that you're super nervous about sitting next to the owner.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We've done nothing there in terms of Bogus's update. This is the one thing that makes Bogus the most mad.
Bogus!
And we've just
that
done it to you.
So untrue.
And we ripped
on a Thanksgiving
DMB.
Eve. Yeah. And ripping Dave Matthews, man.
I'm numb to that. Losers.
We earned that. All right. Hang around with us. Someone lock the door. Bogus can't leave. Maggie and Perloff.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Little Dave Matthews Band for Bogus, who saw Dave Matthews two nights in a row.
Could have been three.
If it wasn't for those damn kids. Like, well,
it wasn't for damn Fordham Drexel basketball.
Oh, jeez.
Woof.
Yeah.
New York City against Philadelphia right there.
Yeah, and Philly won. Double woof.
Who is the guy on the Spurs who went to Drexel? Malik Rose. Good Drexel player.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a Drexel pro. I think that's the only one.
He might be the last one.
Is there
one.
Any Fordham guys in the NBA ever?
Ever? Yes. Smush Parker most recently.
Oh, yeah.
Is he ever going to become a referee, by the way?
He is a referee. He's not a top flight college ref yet. But he is a referee.
Man.
Like my buddy Eddie Malloy, former teammate of mine.
Yeah, but
screws up every finals call.
Did Kobe Bryant ever go after Ed Malloy? Well, probably a couple times.
Definitely.
Yeah, probably.
They definitely played.
Because Kobe had some serious beef with Smush Parker. Okay, we never got to Bogus's update because we were too busy talking about whether or not you like going to dinner with your boss, which is also a poll question that you can vote on at Maggie and Pearl while you're there. You can also watch the show if you click on my avatar. Bogues, what's up?
We've got headlines sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. One of the bigger questions entering last weekend was what would happen to Indiana in the CFP if they lost to Ohio State, which they did. And when the new rankings came out last night, those Hoosiers had fallen from 5th to 10th. Selection Committee Chair Ward Manuel on ESPN.
They played well at times against Ohio State, and Ohio State pulled out a victory and really came on in the second half of that game. But we were impressed with some of the things that Indiana did. And they dropped five, but we still felt that their body of work was strong enough to remain in the top 10.
Indiana would play at Penn State in the new projected bracket. The other first-round matchups would be Notre Dame SMU, Georgia Tennessee, and Ohio State, Arizona State. The Sun Devils ranked 16th, but seeded 12th. As the Big 12 leader, Clemson and Alabama, the first teams out of the field, Oregon, Texas, Miami, Boise State, again getting first-round byes. Away from all of that, North Carolina fired Mack Brown yesterday, the day after he said he intended to coach the Tar Heels again next season. Brown will coach them in Saturday's rivalry game with NC State. North Carolina men's basketball, an 85-72 loss to fourth-ranked Auburn in the Maui Invitational semifinals last night. The Tigers got 23 points, 19 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks from Johnny Broome. Top-ranked Kansas held off number 11 Duke, 75-72 in Vegas. Jayhawks center Hunter Dickinson, 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 ejection for a flagrant 2. He kicked at a Duke player while they were on the court after going for a rebound. Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks have figured things out. Winners of 5 in a row after last night's 106-103 NBA Cup win in Miami. Damian Lillard, 37 points, 12 assists as his team returned to 500 at 9-9.
Being 2-8 and, you know, not feeling good about it, and our team staying together, us, you know, continuing to fight the fight and look ourselves in the mirror at, you know, what do we need to be better about? What do we need to do to change it? And we've done that.
The Bucks are also 3-0 in NBA Cup group play. They got there last night without Giannis, who was a late scratch with left knee swelling.
Man, how about Doc Rivers could be coach of the year? We don't even need the spin doctor. We haven't even been able to play any of the spin doctor music.
I was about to ask, when do we get a spin doctor segment?
They've been on fire. They don't need the spin doctor.
Yeah.
They needed the spin doctor when they were 2-8, but he wasn't really even doing much then.
Well, I mean, 3-0 in the
right,
whatever the thing is called.
NBA Cup.
Yeah.
Just sponsored by Emirates.
Could you see my eye roll on radio? Because give me a breath. Sponsored by Emirates. Jeez.
The Suns dumped the Lakers last night, 127-100, with Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal each scoring 23 in their returns from calf injuries, and the Bulls sent the Wizards to their 12th loss in a row, 127-108. And the first huge name is off the board in MLB free agency, Blake Snell, signing with the Dodgers reportedly for 5 years and $182 million with a $56 million signing bonus. This is the fifth nine-figure contract the Dodgers have given out since the start of last offseason. The rest of baseball has given out five. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Keep them coming on whether or not you would like to have dinner with your boss. We get a couple good ones from the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, where this one comes from, this is Abe Drinkin, one of our faves. Loyal contributor to the chat. Said, I once had a boss that invited me and my wife to his home for dinner, and he and his wife got into an argument in the other room because he didn't tell her. Like, these are things you don't want to know about your boss.
That's crazy.
Being invited also to someone's home, a little bit different than just like, hey, let's meet at whatever, Red Lobster.
You know? Yeah. There's a little more pressure there.
I think so.
I have a question. Has there ever been a team in history, and we got to get the research, that has more Cy Young winners and MVP winners than the current Dodgers?
I'm sure probably like the, you know, Yankees of
like the 50s Yankees. But I mean, they've collected a lot of hardware on that team. Doesn't Snell has two, right?
Snell has two, one of both leagues.
Yeah, and Clayton Kershaw has got a million. And
Freddie Freeman's got Freddie MVP. Freeman, Mookie's got an MVP.
Shohei's got three.
Three. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's so funny. Why do we give the Dodgers a pat? Why aren't we calling them the evil empire?
I think we do raise the bar extremely high on them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they just don't get the negativity that
right.
the Yankees do.
But why?
Well, because they were losing. They didn't win World Series.
The Yankees haven't won since 2009.
But they were when they were winning.
That's when we hated them.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to win.
Like the Patriots.
Evil empire, yeah.
Huh.
Also, I think there's a difference between the two cities and the two fan bases. I know that the Yankees have fans all over the world. They're kind of a national brand, but I think it tinges a lot towards the negative.
Yeah,
and everybody. In LA, I think you kind of, I don't know if you get the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying the fans just are waving pom-poms, but.
Sunny, nice out.
I don't know. You win the division every year. Yeah. Like, what are you really complaining about?
You got Mookie Betts, very likable.
I think Dave Roberts was on the hot seat for a while, but they didn't want to fire him, so.
It worked out.
Am I wrong? 855-212-4227. Massive, massive signing that we woke up to today with Blake Snell, as Bogish said, going to the Dodgers. 5 years, 182. Whew. All right, it's a Wednesday. Around here, we do the great debate. Today, something a little holiday theme for y'all. MVP.